Hi, everybody, and welcome to Buzzing About Romance. This episode of A Quick Shot of Romance is a special author spotlight, and I am welcoming author Sarah Bale. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
You guys can't see me, but I just yanked my earbud out. So we will put your bio, all of your socials, everything on the post. So if you want to, you should follow Sarah. You shouldn't, if you want to, you just should, because she is a delightful author who, if you have not read her, you need to do that. But before we talk about Primal God, which is your upcoming release or new release, depending on when we drop this bad boy, let's ask some get to know you questions.
Okay.
So what initially drew you to the romance genre as a writer?
I've always been interested in it. When I was little, my mom, she used to read in the 80s, she would read the romance novels that had Fabio on the cover. And I could just remember always looking at them and being like, wow, you know, that looks like a great book. And not, of course, not knowing, you know, what was inside of it. And then the older I got, I was like, you know, this is something I'm into and something I think I want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you read your first romance then?
I was like probably 11, and I started out, you know, in school they had the little quote unquote romance section, you know, the teen books and stuff. And then I found my grandma's Harlequin book, and then it was just over.
Yeah. So that was my gateway. Like, my mom used to get the Harlequin boxes in the mail every month.
Yes, yeah.
And so we had them all over our house. And so I was like, oh, this one has a fun cover.
Yeah.
And I was like 12, and I'm like, I'm going to read that. So
Yeah.
I totally, like, again, like, I was the same way. I was reading them probably way before I should have been. But hey, they were in the house and nobody said I couldn't read
Yeah,
them.
exactly. It was funny because my grandma would start out reading, or her main genre that she liked was Christian romance. And so she read a lot of Jeanette Oakey and Grace Livingston Hill. And I don't necessarily think she knew what she was signing up for when she signed up to get the Harlequin books, because that's not the same kind of romance.
I mean, it's a little bit of a slippery slope.
It is, yeah. And so she was definitely like, oh my goodness. And, you know, so then I'd have to go to the library to get, you know, my romance fix.
Yeah, my grandma was a big fan of the Amish romances.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why, but she devoured those.
I could see the appeal.
I mean, whatever works. But I mean,
Yeah.
her and my grandfather were both avid readers when they were alive. And so he liked a thriller and she liked her Amish romances. So the eclectic collection in their house was always really fun.
Yeah, that is
So
fun.
can you share any writing rituals or habits that you have that help you stay focused? And I know writing is your part-time thing. Like, you have a full-time job that you do on the regular too. So
yeah. I definitely am I have to have background noise or music going. I can't just be in silence.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's not that I'm necessarily listening to the TV or music or whatever. I just have to have that chatter behind me.
That white noise almost.
Yeah. And I
Yeah.
can, you know, like I meet up with some local romance authors every Friday at Panera Bread, and you know, it's usually loud and people are talking, and you know, I'm just writing away just because I need that background noise.
Well, just even something like that, like meeting with other people and being able to bounce ideas off of each
Yeah.
other if you get stuck, or it's like, I have this thought, do you think I can make it work?
Yeah, they're always laughing because I'm like, hear me out. Like, oh God, what is she going to say today?
So you do not shy away from the taboo. You don't shy away from some of the harder topics in romance that a lot of authors do. Do you ever feel nervous about going that direction?
I mean, sometimes there's definitely always a fear, but then I feel like what I'm writing about happens, you know, so it's, I mean, life isn't always pretty. And so,
No, life is fairly messy, yeah.
yeah. And so sometimes things happen. And I think people that have had bad things happen to them and then see it in a book, it definitely stands out to them and they can, you know, connect with the characters more. So, yeah.
How do you, when you're creating your characters, do you create a background for them prior to your writing, or do you plan out your character arcs, your character backgrounds, or do you just let it flow like a pantser?
I am 100% a pantser. I
Yeah.
kind of know like where I'm going to start, where I'm going to end, and the rest is a surprise. I always like get tickled when people tag me in reviews and they're like, "Oh, I saw this coming," and I'm like, "I didn't." Or on the other side, when somebody's like, "Oh my gosh, that was amazing," and I'm like, "I know, because I didn't know it was going to happen."
You're like, it was a happy surprise for me
Yeah.
too.
I've discovered, even though I like don't plot anything, that I also over the years have become pretty good at like layering things, like like I'll get somewhere and be like, well, I don't know where I'm going with the next book, and so then I'll go back and read it, and then I'm like, oh, well, I already set it up,
Yeah.
unintentionally. So
So as a pantser, like with this series that you're currently working on, like the Vengeful Gods, like is it harder to keep that overarching storyline that's flowing through, or has it been kind of flowed well for you?
It's flowed well, mostly because I already know how the last book is going to go, because
Okay.
like I always know like where I'm starting and where I'm ending. And so subconsciously I've known like what I need to sprinkle without sprinkling too much. Like obviously somebody's killing them and
Yeah.
obviously we're going to figure out who it is and what their motive is. And so I've known like what that person's motive is the whole time.
Well, and
So
so that's what I noticed with this story. Like book one, like you kind of really set up the secret society itself quite a lot, and there was a lot of like that backstory of like the brotherhood. But this book, it was definitely more relationship based, and like the brotherhood stuff was just kind of in the periphery, because there for a while I was like, when are we gonna get a meeting? When are we gonna have something happen? And I knew it was coming. I was just really, really excited and waiting for it. But it
Yeah.
like I but you've had like a really nice balance of the two, and I thought it was really interesting that the relationship was so forward in this book compared to, well, especially Grant and Greer's book, like the last book, like it was very brotherhood focused, but it like the way that their story played out, it made more sense.
Right. Like I feel like with so many secret society books, you have to like keep it fresh and stuff. And so like going into it all along, my big tagline has been like, a secret society would be great for guys in their eight, like in their teens or 20s, to join, but how would they feel when they're like 40 or 50? Like would they still want to be the face of the brotherhood, or would they still want to be the number one man? And so like on Dimitri's story, like he's doing what he has to do, but he's also set himself up where he's not like needed until he is needed, and so he's kind of like been able to live his own life until he's forced to like step back into the brotherhood.
So going back to just you a little bit, because we veered off, but that's fine. So how is it tough for you to keep the tropes and like cliches that are very like prevalent? Like do you follow those, or do you just kind of write what you want?
I kind of do what I want, but like sometimes it is cliche, but people love the cliche stuff.
I mean, we really do sometimes, because sometimes
Yeah.
we need it.
Right. And sometimes like if you try to veer too far away from like, enemies to lover or something, then you've like lost the plot literally, and then people are like, "Well, I don't like this because this isn't what I thought it was going to be."
Right. Well, and one thing with you too is you're not afraid of introducing different kinks and like venturing into the unknown, so to speak. Like your one villainous tale story, there was like a whole like Hugh Cow, which honestly, we secretly love those. We don't really talk about them much, but
Right.
we do. Like we and I love a breeding kink. I do not know what it is about a breeding kink, but I am a whore for a breeding kink.
Yeah, same. I think it's always interesting because I mean, like those kind of kinks and fetishes exist,
They do,
and
yeah.
there's nothing to be ashamed about it. And, I feel like representation matters, and so like if somebody is into something like that, seeing it in a book, then, it can make them feel better, or, might even turn people on to new things.
Well, and that's one thing I really enjoy about the romance genre is it does like open up people's eyes to the fact that
Yes.
like maybe you do really like that. And I fully like admit like there are some things that I read and I'm like very into it, but that is not what I like, that is
Right.
not my thing. But I love to read it. Like, but I think that's the thing. It gives really like people really safe space to like if they have questions, like
Yeah.
and like a lot of research do your research, people. Like, if you're into something, do your research. But I
Yes.
think that's the big thing with romance is it does create that safe space, and it does create the idea that I'm not the only one.
Right, yeah. But I mean, that's definitely like what it is. Like, you're not the only one, and other people are into it. And I always like it always is validating when people are like, oh my gosh, your book spoke to me, and it made me feel seen. And like, I feel like that's really important.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that people sometimes forget that romance authors, like, as human beings, like, they want you to appreciate like the art that they're putting into like paper form.
Right.
Okay, so romance novels, like, as a whole, like, oftentimes have like strong emotional arcs. How is it for you to find that balance between the development of the relationship with the other elements of the story? Like, especially like in the Vengeful God series, like, you have that development of the secret society, but then you have to create these intense character arcs along with the overarching storyline. Like, this series is fairly complex when you're thinking about it.
Yeah, it is. It's like I try not to think about it too hard because, like, I sometimes get in my head and then I like psych myself out and then I'm like, oh God, I can't write. But, it's, I try to focus like on the primary relationship, of whoever I'm working on, but then like sprinkle in, things for the next book or, previous characters or even characters from other series just to kind of keep it fresh. And it's funny because I've discovered if I'm really proud of a book and I really love it, it's usually not like the reader's favorite, but books that I really struggle with usually end up being the reader's favorites.
Really?
Yeah, like historically, like you were talking about the one book with the Hugh Cow kink, like that book was a struggle. And
Really?
I mean, I like it, but it's not my favorite, but people love that book, and I think it's just funny. It's probably more like when you have to work for the art, people probably can sense it,
Yeah. Well, but if it's one of those things that like you found that new kink and you're like, I really want to explore it for the readers, but like then like there's all these like little like, what are people going to think when I write this? Like, you have all those back end thoughts, like, what if I went this direction? What if I did this? What if they like think, oh my gosh, I can't believe she put this on a page? Because I mean, he had like a whole milking parlor for
I
her.
know, which is like a thing too. And I think it was
I know.
fascinating.
It is. Well, and honestly, like, it's very fascinating when you look into some of these kinks and like the detail and the reasoning that people have behind them. Like, it's honestly like the kink world is just such a fascinating world in general to like look into.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so let's talk Primal God.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. So Primal God is book four in
Yes.
the I just
Defying
totally
God
like,
Brotherhood.
yes. I totally blanked on what I was saying. I am
You're
so
fine.
sorry for that. But it is book four. It released November 8, 2024. The tropes are age gap, ex's dad, she is the nanny, he is a widower. There's a couple other ones, but it's not super tropey. And honestly, the tropes that are in this book, like, they're out there in your face. But so, like I said, you're not a fan, like, you're not afraid of the taboo, you're not afraid of the lesser loved kinks, but in this book is definitely no different. But you haven't done an ex's dad before, have you?
I haven't, no.
Was it fun to explore a new trope for you?
Yeah, I'm all about like kind of like you said, the forbidden stuff, and so like this one was a lot of fun, and like I kind of like down the line feel like I want to do it again and like push it even further,
Oh, yeah.
like because like in this one they had been broken up for a while, even though like they had interactions,
Yeah.
and I think like that's like that part was really fun to write, she's with this guy, but then she's like looking at his dad, like crushing on the dad, and that was definitely fun to write.
I understand why people have issues with that trope. Like, I get it, but at the same time, like, it's just so fun sometimes, especially if it's done well. And I feel like this one was done really well. And yes, like, they were together in like high school, beginning of college, and then they break up, and it's been like 5 or 6 years since they've broken up, based on, or maybe 3 or 4, but it's like there's enough of a gap. But I just think it's such an interesting trope. I always really enjoy the ex's dad. Well, and plus there's the daddy like aspect to it
That's
too.
my
So.
favorite part of the whole book. I'm a big daddy, trope person. Like if it has a daddy trope in it, like I'm all for it.
Well, and we have Wander on the cover, which
Yes.
honestly, like, you cannot go wrong because, as we like to say, if there's Wander, if Wander's on the cover, we're buying it. Like, we don't even
Right.
care what is inside the pages because that man is just nice to look at.
And he's just like the best in person too. Like he's one of my most favorite people ever.
I have heard such good things. I've never had the opportunity to meet him in person. But I like anybody I talk to that like has like met him, they say he's just so kind and gracious and like truly like what you see is what you get, but he's just like a genuinely good guy.
Yeah, he is. He's just the sweetest. And, I met him like in, I think it was like 2016. And, I was like a baby author at that time and didn't have really anything out. And he was like, I know we're going to work together one day. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, right. You're this big guy, this big star. I'm never going to
You're
be
like,
able to
that's
work
the
with you.
dream.
It is. Yeah. And so, I've had him on, this is the second cover now. And, I use his photos for a lot of my other books too.
Yeah. Well,
So
that's the
it's
thing. Like the man is obnoxiously talented, like
yes.
behind the camera and in front of it. Like he's just one
Yes.
of those people. You're like, take a bad picture.
Yes.
Which is
So I mean
horrible to say. And I was a photography major in college, so I know like the bad pictures happen all the time, but it's like,
right.
come on, just show me a bad one. I know it happens.
We should tell him that. We should be like, you need a blooper reel so we can see the ones that don't make it.
Yes. I would love that.
I would too, because I'm all about, like behind the scenes stuff and wanting to make it fun.
Yeah, I
It was
think so
funny
too.
because when I approached him, telling him I was like, I want you on another cover. And he, at first, he didn't think I was talking about him. And then he was like, oh, you want me? And I was like, yeah. And so I was like, here's what I'm thinking. And he's like, oh, you're directing me now, like joking. And then, he was like, well, here, let me show you something that I think could work based off of, the covers that you have. And he has that like photographer's eye. So, he can see things. So, and he was right. The picture, he suggested a couple pictures, but the one that we both mutually liked is the one I went with. And I mean, I'm
It's a
glad I
good
did.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It like conveyed so much,
Well, and as soon as you posted, I don't know if you posted on Instagram or like your social media or like we got it in like a newsletter or something. I just shared it with everybody. I was like, look at what Sarah put out.
Yes.
And they're like, yes, we will be getting that because it is delightful.
Yes, it is. It was funny. I shared that cover right before I went to the Wanderlust signing event in San Antonio. And, he partners with Donna and Jenny on that event. And so Jenny, I actually think it was Donna, was like joking with me, like, oh, you put this out right before this event, so now all these people that are here for him, are getting to see the cover and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I know that. That's the people I want to see the cover.
So, like we said, this book, Primal God, it's all about the secret society, the brotherhood of. But what was the inspiration for the secret society?
So there was a movie like in the early 2000s called The Skulls that came out,
Yeah,
and
I
it
love that
had
one.
Joshua Jackson and Paul Walker, right? And again, I was like, sure, a secret society is all fun and games, but how are these guys going to feel when they're 40? How are they going to feel when they're 50? Are they still going to think it's, awesome? Or are they going to be like, my God, what did I do? And so I think that's, and especially in the last book, without spoiling anything. We've seen, obviously somebody's killing people. There's things that people have done that, are bad even to their standard. And so we're going to dive into the whole underworld of like the bad side about being in a secret society, the bad things that happen that, get slipped through the cracks because, these guys have all these power,
Well, and you kind of teased it a little bit more because like Primal God, like that's because all the elite members of this group, like they all have like god names, and Dimitri is the primal god, and he does have a little bit of a primal kink thing too. So I was like, oh, it all makes sense. But the way that he alludes to like some of his backstory is he is a little more vicious than you anticipate, and you get like little snippets of that in this book, but it does play out fully. Will we see that side of it more in the next book?
Yeah, definitely. I think in the last book you're going to, well, I don't think, I know you're going to see, they all have nicknames, and like you were saying, all their nicknames play into their personality. You know, Grant is the president and he's tempting. He tempts people to listen to him. Brooks is magnetic. He's the face of the god. You know, Alessandro is violent because he's in the mafia. And so all these guys have names that fit their personalities. And so in the last book, you're definitely going to see all of them come out to play.
So did you pick the god names after you've created the characters, or did you pick the like create the characters from the god
I
names?
created the characters from the god names. But you know, some of them I knew, like I always knew there was going to be like a primal god because, like you said, the primal play and all that, and then violent, because he's in the mafia. Like, so there was some of them that came easier. I'd say the hardest one was probably Magnetic God, because I was like, well, how do you describe somebody that's like a pro wrestler turned actor, and,
But he just has like his book, like he just has this really like outgoing personality that like draws people into him. And that like, so I think it worked really well, like that you have that God name for him, because he was this larger than life persona, and people like really like it was this magnetism that he had for people.
Well, it was funny because, like, when I very first was toying around with the series idea, I was telling one of my author friends, I was like, I either want to go like, words that describe the type of god they are, or words that are their profession. So it would have been like mafia god, wrestling god, and but then I was like doctor god, like anyways. And so then it just kind of got like too muddled, and so then we're like, okay, let's rethink this. And so then I started brainstorming and then started coming up with the words and,
I think the words were definitely the best choice, and it because it just really opens you up to so many different options of the way that their characters could go, because like people have magnetism, but in so many different ways. So really, like they could go any direction.
Well, and like, like in Violent God, like Alessandro is like in the mafia, but he like falls first and,
Oh, he's such a softie when it comes to
And so
her. I
it's
just
like a
love
fun thing,
that.
like, he's hard, but then he's soft for his woman and,
I
so
mean,
like
he
that was
steals
fun.
her, so
Yeah, literally. And is not ashamed about it.
he is not, and he tells everybody, like, well, and that was one of those things in this book, like if you like you need to read it, it's so good, but you definitely need to read the series as a whole, because you will, it is has that overarching storyline, like I said, but this, he is not afraid to tell people, like, hey, so yes, she was gonna be married and I took care of that, and now she is mine.
And now we have a kid, and
So this world kind of outlies to your other worlds, like, because in, I think book one, we get a little like snippet of like Malik Jafar's mention. Are we gonna go like delve back into that like side, or is it just
There's definitely going to be more cameos, and not to spoil anything for the fifth book, but Claudius was actually mentioned in Vicious Vows. He's like a big part in helping, Odin get, his girl back. And so like it's all connected. Like I always like joke, all my books take place in the same universe, so you never know who's gonna pop up where. In the Savage Sin, Savage Secrets duet, a big character that people fell in love with was Swag, who was like in the motorcycle club. And so in Primal God, because people have been asking for Swag's book.
Yes, are we gonna get Pretty Boy?
Well, so Pretty Boy will be in Swag's book. So that was kind of like another, like, because I don't know if you've read my Motorcycle Club series.
I haven't read those ones. I've read your Villainous Tales books, and I read the Goldie
Oh yeah, the
one.
bedtime stories, yeah. So before I did all that, I did Motorcycle Club, and so they were like reverse harem. The first three books are reverse harem, and then four, five, and six are standalones, just MF. And so when I introduced Swag, I knew he was going, because he's in that same motorcycle group, I knew I was going to be going back to the motorcycle club eventually. And then, Pretty Boy kind of comes up, and so there's definitely going to be a motorcycle spinoff coming, because it's all in the same world and, everything's connected.
Well, and that's one thing I really enjoy about your worlds too, is they are connected, but there's enough separation where it's like you don't feel muddled or confused. Like this world, like you can pretend that it's not connected to anything. And had you not read the Villainous Tale series, you wouldn't know that it was connected at all. But like, I love that series so
Right.
much, which
Me too.
honestly, like, I am not a fan of a duet. Like, I will fully tell you that. But when I read book one, I did not know it was a Cliffy. I was so mad at you. I was so mad.
Yeah, you're like, what? And it ends on a big one.
It does. And it's one of those things where like I pulled a Becky and I did not read the blurb or pay attention to things clearly when it came to that. But I just really enjoyed like I just really enjoyed that story a lot.
Well, thank you. I like those too. I thought that, was a fun twist again, like on fairy tales, because,
I
like when you
know, it
think,
really is.
well, yeah, when you think of Jafar, you automatically think, oh, he'll end up with Jasmine. And I'm
But
like,
she
who
is
would
a
he? Right. But
see
who
you
would be the
next
most
Tuesday.
unlikely person for Jafar to end up with? And I'm like, Cinderella, you
Well,
know?
and that is one thing that I really enjoy about that series is the fact that like, you take these really well-known stories and fairy tales, but put a completely different twist on them. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of authors like they misstep when they're doing the retellings. Like they just keep it so similar. And
Yeah.
you basically took a machete and was like, how can I chop this up and then rebuild it into something new and dynamic? And you really did that because, like, with the Hugh Cow one,
Yeah.
like you have the Little Mermaid, but you have like an Ursula as part of it, but then like it is, but it isn't at the same time, and it's just this really crazy, bonkers story that you
Yeah.
can't stop reading.
That makes sense. Yeah.
It does. But yeah, so if you haven't read that series yet, people, you need to go delve into that. But like I said, book one is a duet, but they're both out, so you don't have to worry about waiting because nothing is worse than finishing a book and realizing you have to wait.
Yeah. I did my first series, the Belle's Bedtime Stories, which is kind of like a prelude to the Villainous Tales. And I did like a Peter Pan retelling, where it's focused on like
Yes.
Hook and it's like why choose, and a lot of people were really surprised at that too,
I
like
do love those covers. Ian,
yes.
like the cover model, we had the thrill of interviewing him like a while ago, and he's just so very nice. But
Yes.
those were such nice covers. I just really
Yeah.
enjoy them.
Not to spoil anything, but he may or may not be on the swag covers.
Ooh,
Yes.
nice. So these characters throughout all of these books, they have similarities, but they're so different at the same time. Like, how do you keep them fresh?
I mean, that's kind of like I'm pretty good at laying a good base story down, and then when I go through and edit, if something feels repetitive or if I'm like, oh, I feel like so and so did this in a different book, I change it. But for the most part, I'm, knock on wood, pretty good about, whatever I lay down first is usually what I end up going with.
But that's the thing, like they all have very similar, they're very similar in personality in the sense where they have,
Like the alpha protect mentality.
yeah, exactly. But then, like, but their backstories are so varied, and like the way in which they deal with traumas and the way in which they deal with even the way like they move forward with the relationships are very different, though, too. And I think that's really good, though, because like, yes, they're part of this brotherhood, and you like kind of think, well, I'm going to be reading a similar character each time, but you're really not. Like, they're
Yeah.
so varied, and the heroines are very varied, but they're all full bodied, which I
Yeah.
really enjoy.
Me too.
Well, and you have a tendency to do a full bodied heroine.
Yeah. And I feel like that's, not that, non-football full body characters are not out there as much, but I feel like, for a long time, whenever you'd read a book, it was like, a girl so slender, he could put his hands around her waist, and touch his fingers, and like I randomly, I remember reading that in the Little House on the Prairie book when I was like 8, thinking, my God, how small was that woman's waist,
That's the
to be
thing,
like
like how
that?
tiny, I mean, unless he has like giant hands, like how
Right.
small do you have to be? Like I have
Right.
bigger hands. Like I will
Yeah.
fully admit that my hands are not delicate. But like for my hands to touch around something, like you have to be very,
Yes.
very small.
And I know they wear corsets and all that, but that just like really stuck with me, and then like I'm a curvy girl and my sisters are curvy girls, and I just feel like, it's good that, represententation be in all forms, like whether it's, sexual orientation, skin color, body size, everybody needs to feel included. And so that's definitely always a goal.
Well, and I think that's great. I think the fact that like you're not afraid to write those characters and you're not afraid to like have them jiggle and be full
Yeah.
bodied, and the fact that like these men, well, and that's one of the lines in Primal God is the heroine Lily like goes to meet all of the other women of the other like books, and she's like, they're all bigger.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that like stood out for her, is the fact that there are these three men who are gods among men, essentially, not
Yeah.
to be redundant or anything, but like they are so dedicated and loving to these people, like women, like who look like her. And she's like,
Yeah.
she expected to walk into this room and find like really thin, tiny, like princesses, essentially, which she
Yeah.
found the princesses, but not the tiny.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I definitely like it's intentional. Like jumping back to like the villainous tells, there's a scene in one of those books where they're out eating and like Jasmine makes a comment about the nachos or whatever, and about like, one ship won't hurt her, but she makes a dig at like her plus size friend. And I had so many people like, that's so crap. I can't believe you would write a character that says that. And I'm like, somebody actually said that to me one time. So it's funny that, like people are so shocked, but like literally I wrote that because it's something I've went through. And so, I feel like in this series, like where she walks in and she acknowledges, like, hey, these girls are curvy girls too, like you wouldn't expect to see the president with someone curvier, or, a pro wrestler turned, actor, and it's true,
Well, and that's the thing, like, and it honestly, like, it's sad that like that's the mentality that our society is, where like if you see somebody who is in that like stature of a profession, it's like you almost have this expectation of who they're going to be with, and it's frustrating to
Yeah, for
see,
sure.
because that's the thing, like they're all shapes and sizes of women, they're all
Yeah.
shapes and sizes of men, and it's like you cannot control who you fall in love with.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is next?
Oh, so I've got a whole bunch and it's like all random. I'm still trying to square away the 25 publishing schedule. I know Swag is going to have three books coming out,
So
so
he's
it'll
going to
be
be a trilogy.
So it's going to be intense. And there's some foreshadowing of that intensity in Savage Secrets. And I guess in Primal God too, because kind of all feeds into each other if you read the clues. I also have a standalone coming out, and it might actually come out first just because it's closer to being finished, and it follows like a serial killer and his pen pal
Oh,
that he falls in
really?
love with. Yeah.
I do like a serial killer.
Yes, me too. That one's been unhinged, where I'm like, again, hear me out. Tell me
Yeah.
if this is too much.
No, I think that's great. So your holiday treat book, are we gonna get any more like holiday vibey ones like that one? Because honestly, that is how Becky and I found you.
Yeah, I
And
remember that.
we loved that. But it was short, it was sweet, it was adorable, and like
To the
I just
point.
really like it was just such a fun read. Do you think
Yeah.
you're gonna do anything more like that?
Yeah, I definitely have plans to do more holiday stuff. And then I also have plans because, when I first started writing, I was doing like more paranormal stuff and like post-apocalyptic stuff. And a lot of that's unpublished, but I've been thinking about like making a separate pen name so I can
And
republish a lot of
reworking
that.
it.
Right. And then I also have like ideas for that, Bigfoot romance, like things that have been sitting on my brain that wouldn't fit under
Like
my.
he is Bigfoot?
Yes.
I would read that.
Right. Like, so there's definitely things coming that are fun and
Well,
out
and
there.
Monster, like Monster.
Yeah.
Like PNR is very in right now.
Yeah. So there's definitely some things coming that aren't going to be under my main brand, but I'll still let people know about.
I like these ideas.
Yeah. Just know it's always like going crazy up here. I've always got like a lot of ideas. I'll see something and I'm like, oh, that would be a great book. So.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for coming
Thank
on and
you.
chatting and talking Primal God and all the other things. I mean, we did talk about the book, but definitely not as much as we originally planned.
It's okay. Thank you for having me.
It has been such a delight, and thank you, everybody, and happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.